Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Yellow Pages' fourth quarter 2016 earnings release call. Today's conference call contains forward-looking information about Yellow Pages' outlook, objectives, and strategy. These statements are based on assumptions and are subject to important risks and uncertainties. Yellow Pages' actual results could differ materially from expectations discussed. The details of Yellow Pages' caution regarding forward-looking information, including key assumptions and risks, can be found in Yellow Pages' management discussion and analysis for the fourth quarter of 2016. This call is being recorded and webcast, and all of the disclosure documents are available on the company's website and on SEDAR. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Julien Billet, President and CEO. Please go ahead, Mr. Billet.
Hello, good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining to discuss Yellow Pages Limited fourth quarter 2016 results. With me today is Ginette Mayer, Chief Financial Officer of Yellow Pages. We are going to keep this pretty concise today. I want to make sure we allow time for questions. Let me start by summarizing the progress this company has made since 2014, when we launched our Return to Growth plan. We have delivered a number of successes so far that have yielded enviable milestone in the evolution of the business. First, we have created and established a credible digital offering with nearly 70%, or 555.8 million in annual revenues coming from our digital business. Since 2014, we have maintained mid to high single-digit growth in our digital revenue. Second, we have improved our operational capabilities and stabilized our customer base at 241,500, which is over 20% of the addressable market for small businesses in Canada. In 2016, we delivered on our customer acquisition objective for the third consecutive year and acquired 41,100 customers, exceeding our target of 38,000 and lending 33% higher than the 30,800 that we acquired in 2015. Notably, we're approaching requiring growth in customer count with a net customer count decline of 3,500 year-over-year compared to the approximately 30,000 net customers we were losing per year before we launched our Return to Growth plan. Our customer renewal rate was 82% for the 12-month period ended December 31st, 2016, as compared to a renewal rate of 85% during the same period last year. This rate has been under pressure due to accelerated levels of digital customer acquisition. These new cohorts churn at higher rates than older cohorts. However, in context, this is still a very strong and available loyalty rate industry-wide and exceeds standard loyalty rates in the digital space. To sustain this rate, we began building teams specializing in onboarding and retention last year and are also looking at building retention capabilities across other customer channels. Third, to attract customers and increase visits, we've invested in growth opportunities such as Bookenda and Dine.io. Choosing these two entities led to the creation of YP Dine and a cohesive digital offering for the restaurant vertical. We acquired Comfrey du Proprio to grow our real estate vertical offer, and we acquired Juice and repositioned Mediative to expand our digital marketing solutions to global brands. Additionally, we built a strong partnership network of digital global search brands that syndicate our content and listings. In fact, traffic to our media properties increased significantly in Q4 2016, growing 26% year-over-year. This increase is a positive result of our work in our platforms as well as our partnership network, which ultimately drives traffic and eyeballs back to YP platforms. As a result, we finished the year with 464.7 million visits annually across our digital properties. Also, a key accomplishment is the significant deleveraging of our balance sheet. This has allowed us the financial flexibility to invest in strengthening our business operations, technologies, and product offering. Thanks to our strong free cash flow generation, we've successfully repaid 490.3 million on our senior secured notes since their inception in 2012. In 2016 alone, we repaid over 97 million of debt of the notes, bringing the outstanding balance to 309.7 million, despite having also used cash on hand to acquire Juice. Net debt amounted to $384.9 million as at December 31, 2016, down from $430.6 million as at December 31, 2015, and the approximately $800 million we had at the inception of our return to growth plan. So as you can see, we've made quite a bit of progress, and we are delivering on the objectives of the return to growth plan we laid out in 2014. Our revenues are performing in line with the trajectory we had anticipated in our return to growth plan, supported by a diversification of our business over the last 2 years that has allowed us to preserve our growth potential. However, there is a piece of the plan which has proved more elusive, and it is the toughest piece to deliver, translating our successes into EBITDA growth. I will take a few minutes to expand on this. As I described earlier, over the last 3 years, we've significantly expanded our customer offering, which has resulted in a greater ability to compete and to acquire customers. We can all agree this is critical to any business, especially in the digital space. Our revenues are performing as anticipated in our return to growth plan. However, the resulting product mix is applying pressure on profitability. In order to grow digital quickly, broadening our digital offering has been key. Our customers are increasingly attached to the solution in our portfolio that we manage on behalf of multinational players like Google and Facebook. They are placing their spend in those areas, which also happen to be lower margin product for us. These customer decisions are largely driven by brand recognition and not by knowledge of their actual needs, not necessarily because these solutions will generate better results or value. Customers are simply going with the most immediately recognizable solution in our portfolio due to lack of understanding of digital solution differences. Largely as a result of an acceleration of these particular dynamics in Q4, which were limited in impact over the course of 2016, we took a non-cash $600 million impairment to intangible assets that includes trademarks and non-compete agreements. I would underscore that this is a non-cash item and does not affect our debt covenants. It is not a reflection of a change in our growth ability, nor in our ability to generate revenues. We see the echo effects of changes in a diversified product mix. That being said, we've identified where the issues are stemming from, and we are going to be addressing these areas with a laser-like focus in the context of the strategic process currently underway to determine the next phase of evolution for the business. We are going to look more closely at how we structure our sales conversations and approach, how we appropriately counsel our customers on their purchases, how we can truly act more as advisors and equip our customer-facing teams with the right systems, data, and tools to help them understand which solutions their customers truly need and which one will allow them to extract the most value for their dollars, as opposed to just a product pricing conversation. This is a part of what we are currently looking in our strategic process. Of course, we are already starting to action some key operational areas in order to help address this issue. We've already started rolling out new tools and training to our sales team to have value-based as opposed to budget-based conversation with customers. Some of the elements we're also evaluating are product offering, pricing and contracting, sales structure effectiveness, and additional upsell channels. As mentioned, we'll be sharing the full outcome of this exercise with all of you in May. What I can share with you now is that we do still expect to be returning to customer count growth in 2017, and top-line revenue growth is still within reach for 2018. As we work to address the margin and mix issue, we foresee additional pressure on adjusted EBITDA in 2017, and we still expect stabilization in adjusted EBITDA in the short to mid-term post-2017, however, not at the levels previously expected. We also continue to expect strong free cash flow, and as a result, we'll be able to continue to pay down our debt. If we choose to do so, we would be able to pay down $75 million of debt in 2017. However, part of the exercise underway related to the evolution of the business involves determining how we should use our cash to best grow the business and ultimately generate shareholder value. In conclusion, I want to underscore that Yellow Pages is a profitable, healthy business with strong growth potential. Thanks to several years of hard work in our return to growth plan, we have a sustainable balance sheet, enviable cash generation, and a growing digital business that is among the most significant in Canada. We need to optimize certain areas of the business to better deliver bottom-line growth, but the foundation of the business is solid, and we've barely begun to scratch the surface in terms of market potential this company can capture. On that note, I would now be happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. So please press star 1 at this time if you do have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Aravinda Galapathy from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Gillian, let me just start with the product mix issue you talked about. I mean, it was, you had discussed, in the past that obviously the lower margin piece, the search engine marketing piece, which is really what you're referring to, was going to grow faster and as a result pull the margins down. So what you seem to be saying is, and so that was in line with sort of, that was your expectation that component would start to grow a little bit faster, but you're saying, what you seem to be saying is that you suddenly saw an acceleration in that component, the take up of that product in the last, call it 3 to 6 months. Is that sort of your take here?
Yeah, hello, Arvind. That's absolutely correct what you say. So we always anticipated that owned and operated and the mix between owned and operated products on one side and, let's say, reselling products, SEM, all the new Facebook offers we launched, would going to change over time, obviously with SEM and Facebook offers growing faster than the rest of the portfolio with lower margins. What we saw, and basically it's more Q4 phenomenon, if I may say, we saw really a big acceleration of the change in product mix, with owned and operated slightly declining and the rest accelerating growth. So that's why from a total revenue perspective, we are pretty much online with our return to growth plan because the two effects are compensating each other. But on the other side, from a margin perspective, it's quite different. So when we saw that for also accounting purposes, we decided that was a triggering event. Because we think that's more structural. That's not something just happening in Q4. We see that continuing over time. So we've decided to do this impairment testing and consider that it was changing the way our margin could be generated over time. So the impairment charge and also additional pressure we'll see in adjusted EBITDA for 2017 linked to this mix issue. But I really want to reemphasize the fact that from a revenue perspective, actually, we feel confident that we can go to growth for revenue in 2018 and stabilize revenue in 2017. That's really a mixed effect, not a change in our revenue trajectory as a whole.
Okay, thanks, Julian. Just to add to that, could you give me a sense of the breakdown of the digital revenue, the website, what you call it, the mid-margin component and the SEM margin you talk about, how exactly does that component break down? Can you just remind us?
We never disclose the share between the different revenues. In terms of margin, what we always said is we have three components in our digital offer. One is owned and operated products with very high margin, usually, let's say, in the 80%, very close to print. That's the first component. The second component is really, I would say, mid-margin products, where because we need more people to build them, so typically building website for customers. That will be also some of our transactional platforms. That will be SEO campaigns. And the third one with the lowest margin will be all the reselling activity, SEM products, when we resell Google, Facebook products. You can also include juice products in this one because that's relatively the same type of offers. And so what we saw, obviously, is a change of share, market share, I would say, between these different products. I would underscore the fact that it's also this, what exactly what we see in the U.S. If you look at the U.S. market in 2016, what we saw in the U.S. market in 2016 is Facebook and Google capturing all the growth of the digital space, actually most of the growth of the digital space. All the other properties went down in 2016. So this mix, this change, this mix effect is something we saw in Q4 2016, but we also saw in the U.S. in 2016. That's why we consider it a structural effect and not something for, not a one-off effect for Q4.
Okay, thanks. And then just on the EBITDA discussion, I think you talked about stabilizing EBITDA post 2017 or in the near term after 2017. Is there any sort of indication you can give us as to what 17 looks like in terms of margins? I mean, you know, you saw, are we talking sort of a mid, or sort of call it a double-digit EBITDA decline in 2017? Is that within sort of the realm of possibility here?
So what we plan to disclose is in May, we will present our strategic outlook, and obviously we'll give then guidance for 2017. What we want to say at that stage is we'll see additional pressure on adjusted EBITDA in 2017. I will not disclose more precise guidance today. I will give much more information and a complete plan and complete targets for 2017 and the coming years in May 2017.
Okay. And with respect to the, you commented about the repayment of debt. You know, given sort of the May 2017 timeline, is it, what any updated thoughts around how you approach the redemption of the notes?
Well, it's still an open discussion. So what we wanted to indicate externally is if we follow the cash sweep calculation and we manage according to do the cash sweep calculation, we could pay $75 million of debt in 2017. That's giving a sense of our cash flow generation also for 2017. Obviously, in May, we will disclose what will be our policy on that. Obviously, there's a cash repayment on the cash sweep calculation end of May. So obviously, we'll have some discussions before with some of the players, and then obviously we'll indicate what we do in May if we decide to pay under the cash sweep. But even if we didn't pay under the cash sweep calculation, we could still pay the 1st of June the amount we want at par. So 2017 is a very different year for the regarding debt. 31st of May is not as important a date as it used to be, because the 1st of June, basically, we can repay the debt we want at the pace we want at par. So we will disclose what we want to do in May, June, later in the year. But the global indication we want to give is we could repay $75 million of debt using our cash sweep calculation if we wanted to.
Okay, and the last question from me on the M&A side, can you just give us an update of where you stand with Juice? I know, given the challenges that you had, you know, in the prior, that you indicated in the prior quarter, and also, I suspect on the M&A side, you're sort of reserving your comments for May as to which direction you want to take and what your thoughts are around that.
Well, for the M&A side, yeah, meaning that's part of our strategic review, and we should disclose more information on May. Regarding Juice, actually, you know, Juice, and I indicated that in some calls we had, Juice, it was likely that Juice would have the same Q4 than Q3, because, as I said, the management team of Juice changed in Q3. We completely revamped the Canadian team. The new chief revenue officer in Juice, Brad Futnick, came from Twitter early November, so obviously it was too late to have a real impact in Q4. We are very happy the way the Juice organization is now moving. Brad has completely rebuilt the team with very senior guys for the Canada team. US is performing well, so we are still pretty optimistic on Juice. We think Juice could deliver very high double-digit growth in 2017. Relatively at the same pace than 2016, that's what's in our plan. So we knew that Q3, Q4 for Juice would be difficult because of management changes. Still, on the total year 2016, Juice has delivered 50% growth, 5-0, so that's still a tremendous amount, and we anticipate Juice to continue to deliver on that path for 2017. So in the case of Juice, I will re-qualify Q3 and Q4 as a one-off, linked to some management issues and management rebuilding, and we are optimistic on 2017 regarding Juice.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Vahan Ajamian from Beacon Securities. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, a couple questions. First off, just for clarity's sake, is any of the impairment charge, the $600 million, related to Juice at all?
No, absolutely not. Impairment is just linked. You know, the way we do impairment is we look at cash generated units. So you look at them separately. So it's only linked to yellow pages. So actually, juice will have a positive goodwill in a sense, so it will limit the impairment, but it's not the case. So impairment is just linked to yellow pages, and it's only linked to product mix. So nothing to do with any of our operations, which are created, which today more value than the one which we have in our booking.
Okay. And you talked about expecting stabilization and EBITDA post 2017. I mean, can you help sort of quantify that? Could it be flat in 2018?
What we see basically is so pressure in 2017 and then stabilization means it could be almost flat between 2017 and 2018. Obviously, it's still far to say. We're still 2 years from now. But what we see is really stabilization of EBITDA post 2017. Because basically, the real thing is, as I said, we have this mix issue we want to address. Obviously, we're not going to look at this mix issue without doing anything. Actions will take time, so we think this mix issue will have a ripple effect in 2017. But hopefully, as we deploy all the action we have in mind and we'll present more lengthy in May, we can achieve stabilization of EBITDA post-2017, so namely 2018-2019.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Bentley Cross from TD Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning. I just wanted to first start things off by saying goodbye, Jeanette. Thank you very much. I expect this is your last call. Hopefully you enjoy retirement.
Thank you very much.
And then just to maybe stay on the positive track, although your retirement's not positive, Jeanette, but the traffic was very positive in Q4. Wondering if you might give any sort of indication as to why that happened or how you're able to generate that strong growth there.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually there are two different things on this traffic. First of all, on direct traffic, you know, we worked a lot since 2014 to improve our digital properties, and we saw good traction, even if it's limited numbers, in direct traffic on YP, on Red Flag Deals, on the different apps we've launched, YP Dine, YP Grocery, and others. So direct traffic is really growing again, linked to the all the action we have taken over time. The big piece of it is the partnership we've had with Apple. You know, last year we were struck by Google changing layout. This year we had a positive impact of Apple changing layout thanks to iOS 10. So basically, Apple changing layout on Apple Maps in iOS 10 has given much more visibility to Yellow Pages brand and our booking engine. So that's exactly the opposite effect that the one we had in Google. So the major reason why we had this lift on Q4 is partnership. Nevertheless, we had also very good traction on our direct traffic on our own and operated properties, and the combination has driven to that type of growth.
Okay, that's helpful color. And maybe also on the topic of color, I know you don't want to reveal your hand too much in advance of May, but maybe just to level set expectations, can you give any sort of guide on your margin outlook for 2017?
No, you know, that's what I'm sorry to say that. That's what we want to disclose in May because, you know, May, at the end of the day, what we want to present is our where we are in our margin, but also what's the plan to go to stabilization of a bit post-2017. Meaning 2017 will have an impact on the mix effect, and we prefer to tell that now, and the impairment is linked to that. But what we see also is we can work on that. We can have mitigation plan. We can really improve the way we sell, the way we operate as an operation, the way we present our offers, and fight on the mix effect and stabilize our EBIT level post-2017. So that's the global plan we want to present, not 2017 by itself, because that will not demonstrate our ability to stabilize EBIT. So that's why we prefer to give a global vision of what we have in 2017 and plan to deliver post-2017 in the same day. So it should be the day of the General Assembly of Shareholders, the 10th of May 2017.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press *1 on the telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Drew McReynolds from RBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Good morning. Julian, you talked about just your three buckets of digital from a margin perspective. I just want to focus in on the owned and operated piece. I know you don't want to kind of quantify its size or growth, although you did provide a little bit of margin guidance. Can you just, at a high level, comment on how that piece is growing and, you know, what are the key properties within that piece that are really contributing to that growth or growth profile? And then secondly, just on the print outlook, we're seeing a little slippage in the year-over-year decline rate, but obviously still in that kind of low to mid 20% range. Just could you provide an update on your expectation for that growth rate in 2017? Thanks.
Yeah. So regarding the owned and operated, so in terms of revenue or in terms of revenue generation, obviously owned and operating was very low single digit the last years. What we saw is now it's slightly declining. So that's the change in trend we saw. So the mix effect, as I said, is a change of the structure of our revenue. So owned and operated slightly declining, and SEM and Facebook reselling growing faster than we anticipated. So it's not stable O&O growing SEM, it's declining O&O and growing faster SEM. That's why the mix effect is accelerating, and that's the impact we took in the impairment, and so that's what's happening. Obviously, we think on the owned and operated today, we think there's a reason why it's slightly declining now. The pressure of Facebook and Google is one, in fairness. But the other is also that we have to revamp our offer. That's what we'll present you in May. It's how we see the future of Yellow Pages customer proposition, the future of Yellow Pages offers, not only reselling piece, but also the own and operating piece. We think we have a huge potential in this one, but we're not capturing today the potential because some parts of our offers need to be transformed, need to be adjusted, need to be repriced, and that's what we'll present in May. So more color on our own and O&O trajectory, not only from a financial point of view, but also from an offer point of view, to come in May. Regarding print, you know, it's very early to tell. I would see print in 2017 at the same level or slightly better than it was in 2016. We're also working a lot on print regarding the structure of the offer, also more to come in May. So I would say the very early tendencies for 2017 would indicate print in the same range than 2016 or slightly better. So it's very early to tell, so we'll see over time, but the early indication would say that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Mr. Bill.
Okay, so I just want to thank you, all of us, for joining us today. So as you can anticipate, we are looking forward to speaking with you again in May at our annual general meeting of shareholders. And obviously during this meeting, we'll share report on our Q1 results and share much more information of our new strategic path forward. So speak to all of you then, and I wish you a very, very good day. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference is now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. And we thank you for your participation.